All right, we're going to hear from our missionary tonight, Brother Daniel Reed, as he comes. We're going to, I believe he has a, you have a video to show to us tonight, and then also is going to preach to us, and we're thankful for him and just what she was singing about tonight. So many times we don't think about it, but what God desperately needed was laborers for the harvest, amen? And so I'm thankful as some person from our ministry that's been sent out, Brother Morgan, is leaving here. God had laborers sent to his harvest, amen, to take and move on with the ministry. Thank you, my brother, for being here.
Thank you.
I'm going to move this out of your way because if you're like me, you might sling it off there.
Oh, that's all right. All right. Well, I'm glad we can come and be with you all tonight. And I am Brother Daniel Reed. That's my wife, Krista, over here. And our kids are off wherever kids go. And I appreciate being with you all tonight. And never been to Florida before. And, you know, it was snowing, big fat snowflakes when we left New York. So this is kind of nice down here. And I don't think I'd want to be here in July, but it sure is nice right now. And so we're glad that we can come and be with you all. And glad that we can be a help to the Morgans and take their place as they're moving on to the next stage of their life and their ministry there. And just really appreciate the work that they've done and the reputation that they have in that community. And we you know, we haven't really spent that much time with the Morgans, but something that I noticed is his reputation in the community and the fact that he's stayed through a lot of things. And they've been through a lot of things, they've endured a lot of things, and that has spoken volumes in that area. And people who years ago did him wrong have come back and apologized, and you would never see that if you hadn't remained faithful. And so we just really appreciate that. It takes a long time to build trust with people. It takes a long time to establish a good reputation. And we really appreciate that we're going to be able to start there with him having a good reputation and go forward in the ministry there. And that's just going to be a really big help to us. And so we have a video here. I don't know who runs the video, but somebody. It's about 6.5 minutes. And I'll just try to tell you in about 4 minutes what we've been doing for 4 years. So I talk really, really fast. So we do have our display over here in the back corner there. And the prayer cards, feel free to take those. We got a lot of them. And pray for us. And if you got any questions, we'll be happy to talk to you. And I probably talked to you about Romania. There we go. For a long time. And right now we'll just go ahead and run the video. Hi, we're the Reed family, sent out of Old Paths Bible Baptist Church in Rochester, New York, and assisted by All Points Baptist Mission as we go to reach the people of Romania. Romania is located in Eastern Europe and borders Ukraine, Hungary, Serbia, Bulgaria, and Moldova. Romania also has a great diversity of terrain, from the Black Sea up to the Carpathian Mountains. There's a diversity of scenery, from tiny villages all the way to Bucharest, the capital of Romania, which has almost 2 million people. There's a lot of wildlife in Romania and a diversity of cultures, with around 22 million people living in a country about the size of the state of Minnesota. Romania is known as a Christian country and has a long history of religion, but in fact there are very few followers of Christ. We arrived in Romania in the fall of 2017 and began living in the city of Brașov. We started immediately helping an American missionary, including preaching with the help of a translator and giving out tracts and invitations to church in the city of Brașov. Within a few months of our arrival in Romania, I began language lessons, which increase our ability to live and serve in Romania. We also discovered a local English-speaking homeschool group and joined that, which has helped us to form important friendships and has allowed our children opportunities to participate in group activities such as art, music, drama, and nature studies. About the same time, we began working with a foundation called Altera. This nonprofit organization works with gypsies and poor Romanian children to connect them with basic education and with our help to introduce them to the gospel. We participated in after-school and summer school programs in 3 different villages and helped run a summer camp with up to 50 children. In late 2018, we also began to visit other missionaries across Romania and traveled to a national fellowship with many independent Baptist churches from all across the country.
This also has increased our knowledge of Romanian and our fellowship with the other people working here. In 2019, our ministry expanded further as we began our current partnership with a Romanian pastor. This brother has helped me move from preaching with a translator to preaching fully in Romanian without the help of a translator. This has allowed us to have a greater role in the church services. Also, we have gotten into more street ministry, including preaching on the street. We have also been able to go and sing in local hospitals and hold services indoors and outdoors in nearby villages. Around the same time, we met another American missionary in the city of Brasov, whose association has many ministries, including English services and a village church. The English services helped us to meet more friends and have fellowship with even more American missionaries and Christian workers from all over the area. In the beginning of 2020, I took over leadership of the village church, but this was quickly cut short by COVID restrictions. During the time of severe COVID restrictions, we temporarily combined the village and city church because the location had enough room for us to meet outdoors. Over time, we made the decision to permanently combine the village and city church as the people from the village have begun to work in the city and have better access to the service there. In early 2021, Mrs. Reed began a ladies' Bible study with some of our neighbors and friends in our house. They speak a mixture of English and Romanian, and this has been very good for building friendships and practicing the Romanian language. In the summer of 2021, we were approached with a new opportunity. We first met and began to help Brother Jim Morgan over several weeks in 2018 and 2019 at his church in the village of Bursanesht. Now, as he is returning to the United States to direct a Bible college, we will be continuing his work in the area of Onesht and Baco. Baco County is a huge field of around 600,000 people, with no independent Baptist works known anywhere in the region. We plan to buy property there, including an existing house and church, to use the skills we learned in Brasov, to begin from the village of Bursanesht, inviting people from the city of Onesht and other villages with services in Romanian. We plan to add English services if we meet people who want this. We also plan to continue having Bible study groups in homes. We have the opportunity to run VBS and children's camp as we bring families into our church. In the future, we would like to start a second location in the city of Baco, where there is about 190,000 people. As we move into this new area, we also want to maintain fellowship with our friends in Brasov, but we will be moving to a much more limited role in the churches, as our main work will be in the area of Onesht and Baco.
Hi, I'm Pastor Joe Camilleri, Old Paths Bible Baptist Church. It's my pleasure to recommend Dan and Krista Reed to your missions program. Dan is a graduate of our Bible Institute. Dan has been a faithful witness. Dan serves in the local church here. Both he and Krista have been members for some time, and it's just encouraging to see this young couple surrender to God's call in their life. Dan's good in the Bible, a faithful witness, and we pray that you prayerfully consider him for your financial and prayer support. Thank you.
Please pray for us as we enter this new phase of ministry in Romania. In the new area, there are great opportunities, but they will also require more money and more materials. Please consider giving toward the purchase of the property or long-term financial support of our ministry as we preach the gospel across northeastern Romania.
Push a button over here. I pushed a button and I have a green light. Is that the right light? Is that the thing we want to do? I don't know. It sounds the same to me. Hey, there it goes. All right. So that'll just kind of show you what we've been doing in Romania over the past 4 years. And I could have made it a lot shorter by saying I've just done whatever I could do to be available. And that's how we came to work with Brother Morgan in the first place. He called me up and he said, "Brother, would you show up?" Real high standard there. "Would you show up and do what I told you to do?" "Yeah, I can do that. I don't speak a lot of Romanian yet, and I don't know how good I can do, but I can show up, and I can read from the right Bible." And he said, "Well, that's a better offer than I got from anybody else. Come on over."
And I'm just telling you, this is the situation in the world today. Just looking for somebody to show up and do what the man said to do. And you'll go far. And that's just the way things are. And I just appreciate Brother Morgan and the opportunity to come. If I look confused, it's because the last church we were in had like 8 people and was about this wide. So I'm a little thrown off here, but it'll be all right. Our text for tonight is actually up here on the wall behind me. I didn't realize that was going to be up there. We're going to be in Mark chapter 16. And I know this is a familiar passage, and it gets preached quite a bit, but I hope that tonight you'll still listen, and maybe we'll see some things or see some things differently, or the Lord will speak to us in a different way. The amazing thing about the Word of God is no matter how many times you read it, and you read the same places, and it's the same words, and it's the same ideas, and the Lord will show you something that you never saw before, or you never saw that way. And I might say the same thing tonight that your pastor has told you 25 times, and you might hear it for the first time. I've been there. I funny story, I'll tell you real quick. One time, I was in a church, and this pastor preached a message on the place where Jesus does the miracle, and he has to touch the blind man's eyes twice. He touches him the first time, and he can only partly see. And he touches him again, and he can see properly. And he preached a message on needing the second touch, that you don't necessarily hear the Lord the first time. You don't necessarily respond correctly the first time. It's not the Lord's failure. Sometimes we're not listening. And I was all excited. It just really spoke to me that night. And I was all excited. And I was telling my pastor about it. And he's just looking at me like this. And he goes, I preached that like a month ago. Didn't hear it. Didn't hear it till the second time. And it was so ironic that I had to hear that message twice before I heard it. And it was on needing to hear it twice before you hear it. And so, you know, I'm just a regular guy and as prone to not listening as the rest of you. But in Mark chapter 16, let's pray and then we'll get into this. Lord, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for all the people here that are trying to do your work, trying to obey you. And I just pray that you would help us tonight, Lord. Help us to hear your word, Lord. Speak to us by your Holy Spirit that we might be better ministers and better witnesses and just better members of your body and better able to do what you've called each one of us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. In Mark chapter 16, and we're not going to start with verse 15, we'll get there. But I want to set the context here a little bit. There's an old saying, a text out of context is a pretext. And you just mess up things when you get out of context. But in Mark chapter 16 here in verse 1, it says, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And that's kind of a funny thing. Now you understand that as you read the Gospels, these four authors that the Lord chose to write the Gospels, they're all different people. And it doesn't mean that the Word of God is different. But if I was to write up here with a red pen and a blue pen and a black pen and a Sharpie and a crayon, it'd come across a little different. Doesn't change what I'm writing, but you'd see the effect of the instrument there. It'd just come out a little bit different. And that's just what it is with the Bible. The Lord uses people, and you see their personality through it still. And you see the person that the Lord is using. It's the Word of God. But it's coming through that person, and you see a different style. And so Mark, he tends to tell the shortest version of events. And he doesn't tell about everything that some of the other people tell. And he tells things very, very short here. But he also tells it in a different way. And you see some different things here. And so notice here, this is after the crucifixion. This is Resurrection Sunday. And while that is a good thing and that is a great thing, we understand that now. What was it like back then for them? They had walked with the Lord for 3.5 years. They'd walked with him, they'd sat with him, they'd ate with him, they'd been with him for 3.5 years. They'd seen him, they knew him, and one day, sitting there at dinner, one of their own, one of the 12, one of the chosen, anointed apostles, gets up, walks out, and brings the Romans. Right there at the table with them, one of the closest, one of their dearest friends, just walks away and betrays the Lord that night. And they watch their Lord just quietly go to the cross. And he doesn't fight. Am I messing up here? Do I need to do something? I'm hearing a staticky noise. And so they watch their Lord, their master, just go to the cross. He doesn't raise an army. He doesn't fight. And he goes to that cross and he dies. And everyone is scattered. And here they wait over the Sabbath and they're in hiding and they're afraid and they don't know what to do. Because if the Lord, if the master can be taken, if the master can be betrayed, what about us? Who's next? What's going to happen? And here the Sabbath is passed and these ladies say, you know what? We're going to go and anoint his body. He ought to have a proper burial. This crucifixion, it was a mess. It was shameful. And they said, you know, somebody ought to go and give him a decent burial. Let's get these spices and let's go over there. And they just got up to go do it. And then it says they came to the sepulcher and then said, wait, how are we going to roll away the stone? You know, and there's something to be said for zeal without knowledge, and that's not a great thing, but you ought to have some zeal. And these ladies are just going to go out there and do something for the Lord. And as they're going down the road, they're like, wait, can we even do this? But they've already bought the spices, and they're already going down the road before they even start to doubt and to wonder how they're going to do that. And I like that. I like that they're going to get up and do this whether they're able or not. You know what? Somebody ought to go and give him a proper burial. We're going to do it. Hey, wait, how are we going to do this? And they go, and they're wondering what they're going to do. And the Lord's already taken care of it. Amen? Jesus has already got up. The angels rolled back the stone. And in verse 4, when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. Amen. And you know, I want to notice just a couple of things in this part of the passage here. First of all, this is just like he said. You know, Jesus had been telling his disciples from the beginning, this is what I came to do. I came to lay down my life. I came to be the way. I came to be the door. I am the bread of life. I'm going to have to be broken. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to be betrayed, and I'm going to be buried, and then I'm going to rise again 3 days later. And he told them this over and over and over again. And of course, the one time he told them, and Peter said, no! And the Lord had to rebuke him. But all this is happening just as he said. And the disciples now, they're hiding and they're afraid because they don't quite believe what he said, do they? They're still wondering, how can this be? Now, Jesus said, this is going to be. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried. And the third day, I'm going to rise again. Why aren't they all at the tomb? But here come the ladies. We're going up there. And we're going to serve the Lord. And look at what the angel says to the ladies. Go, tell. And you don't have to be called to preach. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't even have to be a man to go tell. Amen? Amen. Every one of us is going to meet people in our life, and we can tell them what we know. We can tell them what we saw. We can tell them what the Lord has done in us. Amen. Every one of us in here tonight, if you're saved, you have a story. And you don't have to know all the verses in the Bible, and you don't have to know how to take them down the Romans road. There's no Romans road at this point. There's no New Testament. And the angel says, you go, tell. Did you see anything? Did you experience anything? Has God happened to you? Go tell somebody what you know. Amen? And notice this too. This is really, really great. In verse 7, go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. And Peter. You know, Judas gets most of the blame. Of course, he betrayed the Lord. And he went out and hanged himself out of his guilt and his shame. But was Peter much better? I mean, the way Peter felt about himself. that he stood there, looked the Lord in the face, and said, I don't even know you. Before all these witnesses, he looks at Jesus and says, I don't know that guy. 3.5 years he was with him. He walked on water. You know, there's only one person ever walked on water besides Jesus, and that was Peter. Amen. He saw the feeding of the 5,000. He helped hand out the bread. He helped take up the baskets. He raised that huge net of fish. Amen. He said, I'll go with you even unto death. I'll never betray you. I'll never deny you. Right. And when the pressure was on, he said, I don't know you. That's some betrayal. That's rough. And it says Peter went out and wept bitterly. And I got to think he thought it was over at this point. Peter's got to be thinking to himself, there's no forgiveness. There's no way back. I can't go on from here. I've messed up too much. I've failed the Lord too much. He's done with me. And the Lord's message is, go tell Peter, I want to see him. Tonight, maybe you've messed up in your life. Oh, we all have. Amen. Maybe you've fallen short. Maybe you haven't done something that God told you to do. Maybe you've done something that you think is a big thing. Right? We like to think there's big sins and there's little sins. Maybe you've done a big thing. Maybe you've made a big mistake in your life. Maybe you've had a big failure. And maybe you're thinking tonight, there's no way forward from here. God can't use me. He doesn't even want me anymore. He said, go tell his disciples and Peter. Make sure you tell Peter there's still redemption. Amen. Make sure you tell Peter there's still forgiveness. Right. Make sure you tell Peter the blood is still enough. Peter, you messed up bad. Come on back. Peter, tell his disciples and tell Peter. You know, at this point, Peter probably wouldn't call himself a disciple. He says, I'm not worthy of the name apostle. And Jesus, I mean the angel here, but he's speaking from the Lord. Go tell Peter. Come on back. Come on, Peter, I still want to use you. I got a job for you. I've got a calling for you. Come on back. And many times maybe we're done with us. And we think we can't. And we think we've messed up. And we think we've failed. And the Lord's not done with us yet. As long as you're still breathing, there's room for forgiveness. As long as you're still breathing, there is room for redemption for you too. And my opinion, I can't really prove this, but my opinion, if Judas hadn't hanged himself, the Lord would have been saying, tell the disciples and Judas. I just believe there's no sin that's too far. That if Judas had repented, the Lord would have forgiven him. What did he do that was worse than somebody else? He's a murderer. There's lots of murderers in the world. Amen. He denied the Lord. Peter denied the Lord. And Judas gave up and he hanged himself and that was the end. But here's Peter and the Lord says, tell Peter. I still want him. And they went out. In verse 8, they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. First, they didn't believe Jesus. He said this was how it was going to be. Now they got witnesses that saw him alive, and they say, it's too good. Have you ever tried to preach the gospel to somebody, and they said, it's too easy. It's too good. It can't be that simple. Surely I've got to do something. I've got to pay something. I got to do something. It can't be free. It can't be that simple. That Christ has done it all, and I just have to believe there's got to be more to it. No, it's really that good. That's the gospel. Christ has done it all. Amen. We just got to believe it and trust him. And that's all there is to it. Yeah. And when Mary says, this thing is making noises. And when Mary says, he's alive, just like he said. the disciples say, "No, it's too good. That's too good." And after that, in verse 12, he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. And this, of course, is the story of the disciples that were walking to Emmaus, and Jesus comes and he walks along with them, and the Bible says he began at Moses and the prophets and expounded unto them all things concerning himself. What a conversation. How many of you want to be in on that? Amen. Where Jesus walks through the Old Testament and says, "See me over here, see me over here, see me over here, see me over here. That was about me, that was about me, that was about me, this is about me." All through the Old Testament, hiding right there in plain sight. And the Jews never saw him coming. Amen. And he walks through from Moses and the prophets. And he says, "Look what Moses wrote. And look what these guys, look what Ezekiel wrote. Look what Daniel wrote. Look at me over here in Zechariah. Look at me over here in every book of the Old Testament." He's in there. And they never saw him coming. And these disciples, now, first they didn't believe the ladies. And this is just the way it is. At this time, ladies did not have a voice. It's just a fact of history. The men were not ready to believe the women. But these are men. They don't believe them either. They went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. We got two men witnesses now. This is all you need in a Jewish court. And they say, "Nah, it's too good. It's too good. The news is too good." And afterward, in verse 14, I'm messing up this wire here. Maybe that's not annoying anybody else. In verse 14, "Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." And that word upbraided, that's always been amusing to me because it says up, but it means down. He rebuked them. Jesus appears to the 11 that are left and he rebukes them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. But it's not recorded what he said. It says he rebuked them and then said, "Go." But we were in unbelief and hardness of heart. Go. "But Lord, I don't understand everything yet." Go. These are the 11. The 11 that are left here, he says unto them, "Go." What did the angel tell the ladies at the tomb? "Go tell." What did Jesus tell the disciples? "Go tell." And it doesn't matter that they don't understand everything. It doesn't matter that they don't know everything. It doesn't matter they haven't memorized all the verses in the Bible. He says, "Here I am. I am risen just like I said. Go tell." And as we see this, I want to really notice these words here real quick. Go. You know, you cannot passively go. Right? We talk about it like I went to the store and I got stuff. But you understand, I mean, think about it. What does it mean if I go to the store? Right? I got to put on my shoes. I got to get the car keys. I got to open the door. I got to go outside. I got to close the door. I got to open the car door. I got to get in the car. Got to close the car door. Right? I'm not going to go through it all. But you get the idea here. Nobody goes to the grocery store by accident. You have to do a certain set of things on purpose, one after another, to end up at the grocery store. And if we don't make a point to go, we're never going to meet anybody. And listen, I'm a missionary, and I live on the other side of the world. But I can do that without going. I could sit in my house and do nothing. As a supported missionary, called of God, I still have to go. I have to make a point to go outside and meet somebody to have the opportunity to witness. It does not happen by accident. This is an active, intentional word. Go. Go. On purpose, find somebody to tell. And even if you're a person who likes to meet people and you like to go out and talk to people, your life kind of has a routine most of the time, and you just see the same people all the time. And unless you make a point, you're not going to meet somebody new, and you're not going to witness. Unless you do it on purpose. We got to make a point in our life to go. And then the second word here, go ye. Who is ye in this passage? No, it's the 11 apostles, right? He's speaking directly to the 11 apostles that are called, that are chosen. We can say this is full-time ministers, it's pastors and missionaries, right? But I believe this is in the presence of the 500, because Paul says over in 1 Corinthians that after the resurrection, Jesus was seen of above 500 brethren at once, and that most of them were still alive at this time. I believe that was at the ascension. I think it's the only place that it makes sense. And although this was said directly to the 11, I believe it was in the presence of all the believers. Amen. It was in the presence of all the witnesses. And though some are chosen and called to full-time ministry, every one of us can be a witness. Amen. Every one of us that's saved has got something to tell. And it's for every one of us to go. Every one of us is in that word, ye. It's a little word. I'm in the South now, right? It's y'all. Yeah. Y'all go, right? That's what it is there. That little bitty word. It's everybody. Y'all can be one people, two people, 100 people. It's a great word. Go ye into all the world, or throughout all the world. And think about this. Sometimes people think, well, this is for the full-time people to do. It's for the college students, right? That are going through this time of your life and just studying and trying to serve the Lord. And that's for those guys. It's not for everybody. Now think about this. Into all the world. Now if everybody in this room spends 1 hour a week witnessing, how many hours is that in a week? A bunch, right? How long would it take just the pastor to do it? A whole bunch of hours. Yeah. It's going to take all of us to go into all the world. Amen. It's a job for everybody. There's a song that we were singing in a missions conference a little while ago. It was Bright in the Corner Where You Are. Yeah. Right? Every one of us. This is a job. It's going to take every one of us if we're going to go into all the world. And Romania is just part of the world. Florida is part of the world too. Right. All right, there's all kinds of people. We drive down the road. We've been driving up and down here, going places and visiting people. And there are a lot of houses. There are a lot of houses around here. It's going to take a lot of people to go and witness to all those people. Just here in Florida. Just here in the Orlando area. There are a lot of people. This is an everybody job. Amen? Amen. And preach the gospel. You know, doctrine is important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that doctrine is not important. Doctrine is important, and every part of our doctrine is important. But the main thing is to preach the gospel. And we shouldn't be spending so much time fighting and splitting that we forget to preach the gospel. Right. Or that we make the name of Christ look bad because we can't stand each other. And churches all over the place are splitting and fighting and closing the doors because we can't be nice to each other. Just to preach the gospel. This is good news. The gospel is good news. Amen. Is it not?
Yeah.
We got something good to tell. We ought to be able to get along with the person sitting next to us long enough to tell somebody else about it. Amen? Amen. If we're saved, we ought to be happy about that. We shouldn't go around grumpy all the time. If God's done a work in us, we got something to tell. We got something good to tell. And let's do it. Let's preach the gospel. And we got to do other things in our life. And as you saw in the video, you know, we try to help some of these poor kids and get involved with people's families and do different things. But all of those things are side things. We're there to preach the gospel. Because if we just give them shoes, and we just give them food, and we just fix their roof, they'll just go to hell comfortable. Yeah. If we preach them the gospel, their life might still be uncomfortable, but they're going the right way.
Amen.
And that's the main thing. Yeah. It's nice to fix the house, and it's nice to give them shoes, and it's nice to help with some physical things too, and we want to do that. But the main thing is got to be preaching the gospel. Because that's the eternal thing.
And all these creature comforts are nice, but it's the gospel. That's the main thing. And the last part of this verse, to every creature. And you know, Brother Jim has had a significant ministry to gypsies. And not many people in Romania are willing to do that. And we've been told more than once, the gypsies are irreparable. They can't be saved. They're evil in their blood and there's no fixing it. And we've had people that should know better tell us that. Christian people that know the Bible say, well, this kind of person can get saved and that kind of person can get saved, but gypsies, forget it. And I'm glad that Brother Jim and us coming along, following in his footsteps here, we're not drawing that line and saying, I'm preaching to these people and not those people. Amen. We're not going to say, we only preach to the Romanians and the Hungarians and we're not going to preach to the gypsies. We're not going to do that. We're going to preach the gospel to every creature. Amen? And we can't be looking at the color of people's skin or the way that they talk or the kind of house they live in or the neighborhood they're from and say, nah, it's never going to work over there. I'm going to preach in this neighborhood because, you know, these people, they can be saved and God can do something with them. But the people in that neighborhood, forget it. We can't be drawing those lines.
Amen.
The Lord said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen?
Amen.
And who can do that? Who can do that? Only save people. And tonight I just the final thought here. This is a job that only saved people can do. And maybe tonight you're not sure you're making decisions in your life, and maybe you're not sure if the Lord would call you into the ministry. You're not sure if the Lord would want you to be a missionary. I would challenge you to explore that first. Before you go another direction with your life, before you get into a career, before you make other decisions, try the Lord. Volunteer and see if the Lord would call you, if the Lord would use you, because nobody else can do that. There is nothing wrong with being a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or a plumber or a carpenter. I've been a lot of those things. There's nothing wrong with those things. It's good to work.
Amen.
But anybody can go to work. Only a Christian can preach the gospel.
Amen.
And if there's any doubt in your mind about what the Lord wants with you, I would challenge you, ask him, would you use me? Would you take me? Lord, is there something I can do for you? Because only a Christian can. A lost person cannot go preach the gospel. A lost person cannot go and witness. They got nothing to tell. It's only us that have something to tell. It's only us that know the Lord that can do this. So tonight, I'd like you to just think about these things. Maybe you're thinking, oh, that's for the men and the pastors and the missionaries. No, it's for the ladies too. Maybe you're like Peter and you think, ah, it can't be for me. I've messed up. I've failed. My life is broken. The Lord still wants to forgive you. The Lord still wants to redeem your life. The Lord still wants whatever's left. Bring it to the Lord tonight. The Lord has a ministry for you. Even if you think it's too late and you've gone too far, there is still forgiveness. There is still redemption. There's still room.
Amen.
And maybe you're someone who you know you're saved, and you're just thinking, I don't know what to do with my life. I'm thinking about these big decisions. Put the Lord first and ask the Lord, would you use me? Is there a place for me in your service? Let's close. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. And thank you that this commandment to go is for all of us, and that nobody's excluded. Nobody is too great, too small, too strong, too weak. Lord, that you want every one of us to be involved. And I pray that you would help each person here tonight to understand your will for their life, your specific will for them. Lord, that each of us would be everything that you have called us to be, and that we would go and tell somebody what you've done in our lives, that you might be glorified in their life too. In Jesus' name, amen.
to stand to our feet tonight. If God spoke to your heart, why don't you come down and maybe you're burdened about going here locally. Maybe God spoke to your heart about going farther than just down the street. Maybe God's saying, come and speak to him about where God wants you to go. Why don't you come tonight as Brother Burr sings?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Would you bow your heads with me tonight? There's a good message for us tonight on going. You know, we can give to missions, and we ought to. God speaks to our heart. We send missionaries around the world with what God impresses, but no one can do our going for us. There's each one of us have a place that God wants us to serve and people he wants us to go to. And so maybe tonight God spoke to your heart about that. Maybe you need to come and speak to him. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. You don't know for sure if you died today that your home would be in heaven eternally. Well, you know, we could take a Bible tonight and show you how you can know that you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven. We'd love to do that. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been holding out a long time, saying, you know, I'd join that church if they just, you know, if they just sing one more verse. Or the preacher would say, you know, we'd love to have you. Listen, folks, if you need me to say it tonight, we'd love to have you. If you'd come tonight and join this church, we'd have you. And boy, there'd be nobody happier but than those in heaven that you join the Lord's church. And you can do that through baptism or by statement. So as Brother Burt sings, we'll give you another opportunity to step out and come.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Would you bow your heads with me tonight? We have somebody being dealt with here at the altar, and if you go in an attitude of prayer, we just prompted me a thought, maybe in the Christian's life, maybe the desire to go is not there because your desires are being fulfilled by the world. Maybe the world isn't behind you, it's in front of you. It's in front of you way too much. It has the hold on you. It has a hold of your eyes and a hold of your desires. Tonight, listen, maybe tonight God's speaking to your heart. And as Brother Burt sings, you need to step out and say, Lord, I need to get some of these things out of my life so the going is important to me again. If you ever had a place and a time in your life where going was burning, a burning desire in your life, something has taken its place, and it's probably the world. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, why don't we let Brother Bert sing one more verse? And if God spoke to your heart, either pray there or come down to the altar and deal with God tonight.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.